Welcome to Good News in the Morning, a program of words and music, bringing a Christian message of hope and encouragement to those who are looking for an intelligent, meaningful, and spirited approach to faith and to life.
Good morning and welcome to the Good News Christian Ministries broadcast. This is Donald Crisp and I am the pastor of the First Baptist Church of Smiths Falls, and it is my privilege to present the Good News message today. This program is sponsored by the Good News Christian Ministries. To contact us, just write to the Good News Christian Ministries, Box 184, Rideau Ferry, Ontario, KOG 1WO. Now think of it. Today is the day that the Lord has made. Let us rejoice and be glad in it. It is always wonderful to have God's people gather on God's day to hear God's word. And now may God bless our hearing of today's message, and may we commit ourselves to listen with all our hearts. My prayer today is that God would bless us, encourage us, challenge us, and comfort us. May God turn your heart and my heart toward home, as he speaks to us and draws us near. My message today is entitled, The Lamb Wins. First of all, I'd like to welcome my wife, Tricia, to the program today, and she'll be doing some sharing. Tricia, welcome.
Thank you, and good morning to all. This morning I will be doing an excerpt from the book, And the Angels Were Silent, by Max Lucado.
Wonderful. And Tricia will look forward to that. Again, the message is entitled, The Lamb Wins. The year was 1961. One of the abiding symbols of the Cold War and communism went up between East and West Germany. That's right, 1961. 28 years later, on November the 9th, 1989, that symbol came down. The symbol to which I speak is the Berlin Wall. Large concrete segments of the Berlin Wall have been sold and transported to a number of different sites around the world. It's been so interesting following those stories. These sections stand as silent witnesses to a tragic period of oppression for millions of the world's peoples. Eddie Fox, the General Secretary of the World Methodist Evangelism Commission, he was in Prague after the fall of the Berlin Wall and the collapse of the communist governments of Eastern Europe. It was there that he observed a sign that went up the very first day after the fall of the Berlin Wall. And this is what the sign read: The Lamb Wins. That's our focus for today. This is Palm Sunday, also known as Lamb Selection Day. This message will focus on Jesus Christ, the Lamb of God. Now let's just listen to Twyla Paris singing Lamb of God.
Oh,
Palm Sunday was a time of preparation. Jews who were able, they would travel to Jerusalem to celebrate this feast. The normal population of Jerusalem at the time was about 50,000, but during this week there were hundreds of thousands of people that would come. They would all be there by Palm Sunday so that they could prepare for Passover. You see, Palm Sunday was Lamb Selection Day. The people selected the lambs that they would sacrifice Thursday night right through to Passover Friday. Thursday night for the Passover Seder meal was so important at that time. Palm Sunday was really all about Passover because that is when people would bring their Passover lambs to the temple for inspection by the priests. Oh, we're going to hear a little bit about that later from Tricia. I want you to think of the word extortion when you hear this. The Bible teaches that Jesus was the Lamb of God. He is the Lamb of God. And while the people were choosing their lambs for sacrifice on Passover, little did they know that God, our Heavenly Father, had already chosen His Lamb, Jesus Christ. In fact, when John the Baptist saw Jesus, he identified Him with these words, "Behold the Lamb of God, which takes away the sins of the world." Now let's focus on a word picture. It's a picture of people as Jesus rides into Jerusalem on a donkey. He's on the Mount of Olives. He rides down the Mount of Olives through the Kidron Valley up to Mount Moriah where Jerusalem sits. And the people gathered. And the people waved. That's our focus. The people waved. That's the picture. A waving people. Listen to the scriptures. Mark chapter 11, verses 8 through 10. Many people spread their cloaks on the road, while others spread branches they had cut in the fields. Those who went ahead and those who followed, they all shouted, "Hosanna! Blessed is he who comes in the name of the Lord! Blessed is the coming kingdom of our father David! Hosanna in the highest!" And in John chapter 12, verse 13, we read, "The next day the great crowd that had come to the feast, they heard that Jesus was on his way to Jerusalem." It records these words, "They took palm branches, and they went out to meet him, shouting, 'Hosanna, Hosanna!'" Can you see that picture, the people waving the branches as they shout out, "Hosanna," which means "Save now, we pray"? "Blessed is he who comes in the name of the Lord. Blessed is the King of Israel." You know what? These are messianic cheers. The people are cheering and celebrating and waving palm branches, shouting, "The King is here. Hosanna to the highest." They thought that they were ready to meet the King. They thought that they were ready to worship the King. They thought that they were ready to give their all to the King. But we know that these shouts of "Hosanna, Hosanna," were soon followed by loud cries, "Crucify him, crucify him." There's a legend about an ancient village in Spain. The villagers learned that the king would pay a visit. In 1,000 years, a king had never come to that village. Oh, excitement grew. "We must throw a big celebration," said the people. The villagers agreed together, but it was a poor village, and there weren't many resources. Someone came up with a classic idea. Since many of the villagers made their own wines, the idea was for everyone in the village to bring a large cup of their choice wine to the town square. They said, "We'll pour it into a large vat and offer it to the king for his pleasure." Oh, yes, when the king draws the wine to drink it, he will be drinking the very best that he has ever tasted, the best we have. That's what we'll offer to him. The day before the king's arrival, hundreds of people lined up to make their offering to the honored guest. They climbed a small staircase, poured their gift through a small opening at the top. Finally, the vat was full. The king arrived, and he was escorted to the square. Given a silver cup, he was encouraged to draw some wine, which represented the best the villagers had. He placed the cup under the spigot, turned the handle, and then drank from the cup. But it was nothing more than water. Water. You see, every villager reasoned this way, "I'm poor. I'll withhold my best," and substitute it for water, with water. Oh, with so many cups of wine in the vat, the king will never know the difference. The problem was, everyone thought the same thing. And indeed, everyone brought the same thing, water. And the king was greatly dishonored. There's something to ponder, isn't it? People thinking that they were ready to meet the king, thinking that they were ready to worship the king, thinking that they were ready to give their all to the king. Now back to our story. Jesus, the King of Kings, is entering the city, and the people were celebrating and shouting and waving. Tradition tells us that they would have waved palm branches as well as willow branches. Oh yes, palm branches that symbolize victory and willow branches that symbolize weeping. Jesus is God's chosen lamb. He came in victory, but we must remember that he was born to die. We're celebrating the Easter season right now. Let's go back to Christmas for a second and listen to the words of that hymn that has become so popular with us. Listen to these words. Mary, did you know that your baby boy would one day walk on water? Mary, did you know that your baby boy would save our sons and daughters? Did you know that your baby boy has come to make you new? That this child you delivered would soon deliver you. Yes, that child is Jesus Christ. He is the Lamb of God. This is Lamb Selection Day, Palm Sunday, and Jesus is the chosen Lamb. Jesus, the Lamb of God, who would die for the sins of the world. Folks, that's your sins and mine. He shed his blood for you and for me. And his blood was perfect, it was pure, and it was precious blood. The hymn writer asks the question, are you washed in the blood of the Lamb? Take a moment and ask yourself that question. Are you? Have you been to Jesus for the cleansing power? Are you washed in the blood of the Lamb? Let's listen to Alan Jackson singing, Are You Washed in the Blood of the Lamb? From his precious memory CD, Song 7.
Have you been to Jesus for the cleansing power? Are you washed in the blood of the Lamb? Are you fully trusting in his grace this hour? Are you washed in the blood of the Lamb? Are you washed, in the blood, in the soul-cleansing blood of the Lamb? Are your garments spotless? Are they white as snow? Are you washed in the blood of the Lamb? Lay aside the garments that are stained with sin and be washed in the blood of the Lamb. There's a fountain flowing for the soul unclean. Oh, be washed in the blood of the Lamb. Are you washed, in the blood, in the soul-cleansing blood of the Lamb? Are your garments spotless? Are they white as snow?
Yes, the people waved. My second point is, and Jesus wept. Why did Jesus weep? What exactly broke the heart of Jesus? What did he see that caused him to weep? What did he see in the religious leadership that evoked righteous indignation and righteous anger? I believe that there are four things he saw, four reasons for his weeping. Number one, he saw that the priesthood was very corrupt. Two, he saw that the temple had been polluted and needed cleansing. Three, he saw that the people were confused. And four, he saw within the hearts of the people, and he could see that the people would struggle with trusting him and trusting his compelling call. This temple scene is really religiosity at its worst. Tricia, I know what you are going to read to us will impact us greatly. And my prayer is that it would help us see and understand more clearly what was happening and tearing at Jesus' heart. Would you share with us now?
After he had entered the city on the back of a donkey, Jesus went into the temple. After he had looked at everything, since it was already late, he went out to Bethany with the 12 apostles. Did you catch that? The first place Jesus went when he arrived in Jerusalem was the temple. He had just been paraded through the streets and treated like a king. It was Sunday, the first day of the Passover week. Hundreds of thousands of people packed the narrow stone streets. Rivers of pilgrims flooded the marketplace. Jesus ambled his way through the sea of people as evening was about to fall. He walked into the temple area, looked around, and walked out. Want to know what he saw? Then listen to what the Bible says he did on Monday, the next morning when he returned. Jesus went into the temple and threw out all the people who were buying and selling there. He turned over the tables of those who were exchanging different kinds of money, and he upset the benches of those who were selling doves. Jesus said to all the people there, "It is written in the scriptures, 'My temple will be called a house for prayer,' but you are changing it into a hideout for robbers." What did he see? Hucksters, faith peddlers. What lit the fire under Jesus' broiler? What was his first thought on Monday? People in the temple making a franchise out of faith. It was Passover week. The Passover was the highlight of the Jewish calendar. People came from all regions and many countries to be present for the celebration. Upon arriving, they were obligated to meet two requirements. First, an animal sacrifice, usually a dove. The dove had to be perfect, without blemish. The animal could be brought in from anywhere, but odds were that if you brought it a sacrifice from another place, yours would be considered insufficient by the authorities in the temple. So, under the guise of keeping the sacrifice pure, the dove sellers sold doves at their price. Second, the people had to pay a tax, a temple tax. It was due every year. During Passover, the tax had to be rendered in local currency. Knowing many foreigners would be in Jerusalem to pay the tax, money changers conveniently set up tables and offered to exchange the foreign money for local, for a modest fee, of course. It's not difficult to see what angered Jesus. Pilgrims journeyed days to see God, to witness the holy, to worship His majesty. But before they were taken into the presence of God, they were taken to the cleaners. What was promised and what was delivered were two different things. Want to anger God? Get in the way of people who want to see Him. Want to feel His fury? Exploit people in the name of God. Mark it down. Religious hucksters poke the fire of divine wrath. "I've had enough," was written all over the Messiah's face. In he stormed, doves flapped and tables flew, people scampered and traders scattered. This was not an impulsive show. This was not a temper tantrum. It was a deliberate act with an intentional message. Jesus had seen the money changers the day before. He went to sleep with pictures of this midway and its barkers in his memory. And when he woke up the next morning, knowing his days were drawing to a close, he chose to make a point. "You cash in on my people, and you've got me to answer to." God will never hold guiltless those who exploit the privilege of worship.
Wow. I began thinking, just as Trish was reading, as I said, this temple scene is really religiosity at its worst. And I think now we do have a better understanding of what was tearing away at Jesus' heart. Yes, the priesthood was corrupt. Good picture of pure extortion, and Jesus became very angry. But please note, his response was righteous anger. Secondly, we saw that the temple was polluted and it needed to be cleansed. Thirdly, let me say this. The people were confused. You see, the word Passover is not so much just as passing over or passing by, as it is a picture of a shield. It's a picture of a blood covering. This gives more meaning to what Jesus meant when he said in Matthew 23:37-39, you remember these words? O Jerusalem, Jerusalem, you who kill the prophets and stone those sent to you, how often I've longed to gather your children together as a hen gathers her chicks under her wings, but you were not willing. Jesus was saying that Jerusalem needed a real Passover. Jerusalem needed a real shielding and protection from the destroyer, and that he was that shield. He was that Passover. Jesus Christ is our Passover lamb. The priesthood was very corrupt. The temple was polluted and needed cleansing. The people were confused and the people needed. Fourthly, the people needed to embrace the trusting issue, which each one of us struggle with, don't we? They needed to embrace trusting him and embrace his compelling call. Jesus knew that the people would need to see something first before they would trust him. They would need to see that they were corrupt, just as the priesthood and the religious system was corrupt. They needed to see that they needed to be forgiven and cleansed. They needed to see that they were confused. They were confused as to what was wrong with the religiosity. They needed to see that the confusion was also, they didn't know who he was. Yes, they were corrupt. They needed forgiven to be forgiven and cleansed. They needed some light, some wisdom on who he was so that their confusion would be ended. And in order to respond to his compelling call, here we need to hear his compelling call. And I believe they did. Listen to the words. Come unto me, all you who labor and are heavy laden, and I will give you rest. I believe the people heard that and began to see who he was. He said, come, follow me, and your life will have purpose and impact. Yes, we can see person after person, even today, responding to that compelling call to come and to follow him. He said, come and follow me and trust in my presence, trust in my promises, trust in my person. When you trust in my presence, you will hear me say, lo, I am with you always. When you trust in my promises, you will know that I go to prepare a place for you, and I don't lie. When I give my word shall be. I go to prepare a place for you, and that's a place in heaven with me. And he says, trust in my person. I am the way, the truth, and the life. And no one comes unto the Father except by me and through me. So here's the word pictures that we have for today. A picture of the people waving. A picture of our Lord weeping. A picture of our Lord washing and winning. Washing and winning? Yes, it's a picture of the temple. Jesus riding through the gates of Jerusalem is a picture of him riding into our hearts. And notice that the first place he goes is straight to the temple to clean it, to cleanse it. This is a picture of Jesus riding into our hearts and cleaning us inside out. What happens in this particular instance is what John the Baptist says is, behold the Lamb of God which takes away the sins of the world. Let me ask you a question. Have you allowed the Savior to come riding into your heart? Have you allowed him to come in and to forgive you and to cleanse you and to claim you as his own and to win you into the family of God? I trust that you have, and I want to challenge you now to pray. Father, thank you for this time of celebration. We want to celebrate that Jesus Christ is the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords. Thank you, Father, that Jesus Christ still to this day will come riding into our hearts if only we'll open our hearts and invite him in. Lord, would you come into our hearts right now? Forgive us of our sins as we turn from sin and turn to you, and allow us to allow you to sit on the throne of our hearts. Thank you for winning us. Thank you for winning the issue over death and sin at the old rugged cross. Thank you for giving your life for each one of us. Father, I now commit my life to you forever. In Jesus' name, amen. Now, in conclusion, allow me to thank you, our listeners, for your open hearts and your prayerful encouragement. You need to know that your faithful prayers and gracious giving empowers and enables this ministry to deliver God's good news message on the air. And the truth is, as I say, from week to week, we can't do this without you. Let me encourage you, therefore, and challenge you to make out a check payable to the Good News Christian Ministries and send it to Box 184, Rideau Ferry, Ontario, KOG 1WO. Mark the check, Good News Broadcast, and we'll send you a receipt at income tax time. Now, on a personal note, if this radio ministry is impacting your life, perhaps you've prayed and received Christ as your Savior and Lord, perhaps you've recommitted your life to Christ, perhaps these messages have been and are a source of encouragement to you. It's impacting your life. If this is true, then we want to join you in thanking God. And I would ask you to write me and share your story with me. I would be just thrilled to hear what God is doing in your life. You can email me at doncrisp@hotmail.com. That's doncrisp, one word, doncrisp@hotmail.com. Or you can make your comments on the website, or even you can write us and send your story to us by snail mail. Just send your story to the Good News Christian Ministries, Box 184, Rideau Ferry, Ontario, KOG 1WO. Again, I would love to hear from you. Please encourage your friends to listen to this radio ministry as well. And now the challenge. Don't forget to worship in a church that proclaims Jesus Christ as the Savior of the world and points you to the cross. A church that will equip you and encourage you to embrace our Lord's will for your life. A church that faithfully holds high the Bible and does not waver from the principles, precepts, and promises that are found within it. Father, we pray that you would inspire us and instruct us to live lives worthy of you. We pray that you would empower us to live for you, bringing honor and glory to your name. Now, as we conclude today's program, here is Selah singing, O Sacred Head Now Wounded. And now may God bless you and keep you and make his face to shine upon you. May you live with courage, faith, and love. And may you be grace agents for Christ in a world that hungers for hope, love, and truth. Amen.
Thy dying sorrow, thy pity.
Good News in the Morning is produced in the studios of News Talk Radio 580 CFRA.